The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Good evening and welcome to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To contact Joanne live this evening in the studio, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send Joanne an email right now in studio101@gmail.com. And now, your host of Down the Garden Path, just off a cruise, Joanne Shaw.
Thanks, Gary. Yes, back from holidays. So thank you, everyone, for joining me down the garden path once again this evening. As always, we continue to talk about down-to-earth practical tips and advice on plants, gardens, and landscapes. And I just always love researching new topics and thinking of new things that we can talk about. And sometimes we're repeating things because there's so much more information out there. So I want to thank everybody for listening. And I'm really looking forward to the show this evening. And even though our gardening season is winding down, there's still lots to talk about. And tonight's focus is going to be on vegetables, which I know many people, I know I've kind of given up on my little vegetable tomato plant. I don't have a lot of vegetables in my garden, but some people are doing, you know, sowing some cold hardy plants. And so I just want to share a little bit about Jennifer White. She's my guest here tonight from Oshawa. So she's in studio with me. And Jennifer's journey started with an interest in sustainable energy and living methods. But life threw her some curveballs. And then with the help of Durham College's Entrepreneurship and Small Business Program, her journey continued with a goal to provide fresh local vegetables from her garden to her community and a habit of picking them barefoot. Barefoot Veggies was launched in Oshawa in July of 2015. Since its launch, Barefoot Veggies captured the attention of local media, and thanks to word of mouth and social media, Jennifer has grown a strong customer base here in Oshawa and Durham region. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you, Joanne.
So, what do you think of the term urban farm? Like, that's kind of a new thing, but...
Out west, it's pretty large and common, urban farming.
Yes.
It's basically community-based farms, and people sustain their food and living practices from their backyards. Urban farming, to me, is being in a residential area. I have a large backyard that was grass and empty space, so I decided to convert it and grow food from it.
Wow. So how did you, like, let's talk about how you got started with vegetables. Like,
well, as you had introduced, I was in the renewable energy program at Durham College and ended up with health issues. And it started off with free 36 yards of soil that I ended up, a girl I was in school with and a business course with, we decided to create this garden together. Unfortunately, she left at the end, but... So I've continued on my own for the past 2 years, and I've really, really grown to love what I do. And it's been a learning curve the entire way.
Mm-hmm. I bet. Yeah. So it started from 36 yards of soil.
Of free soil.
Yeah. And you decided to put those in your backyard. And
yeah, it seemed like a good place to start. Yes. And she was in a horticultural program. And I had always kind of wanted to do a landscaping company.
Okay.
But I always wanted to be in the renewable energy program as well, and just sustainable living and learning how to live off the land and be self-sufficient. That's
okay.
Kind of always where I've wanted to go with my end goal.
I see.
And so starting the farm and starting growing food in the neighborhood was a great idea to me, and a lot of people had really good feedback.
Oh, great. So you saw like kind of a need in the neighborhood, or?
Just local, like mm-hmm. a local small business. I mean, there's Pringles and Watsons around us, but nothing close by that's organic. I mean, yes, it has grown a lot now in the recent years, mm-hmm. but to have something that's in town where people could walk to has been a big success, and a lot of people really like it and appreciate being able to do that.
Oh, well, that is great. I mean, I think the whole buy local mentality and goal and motivation for everybody has really grown in the last mm-hmm. few years. Mm-hmm. You know, to stop. You know, to look at the label of what you're buying, even if you're at the grocery store and you have a choice, because we're lucky here in Canada to have tons of choice, even at the grocery store, right? And you mm-hmm. can buy something from Mexico or you can buy something from Canada. I know sometimes the price for Canadian product or Ontario product is a bit more, mm-hmm. but I still think the awareness and is becoming more and more. And people wanting to support the farmers.
Support local and eat healthy and, mm-hmm. and know where the food comes from. And that's another draw for people is they could actually pick their own veggies if they really want to.
Oh.
Like they could, if they choose to.
Yes.
But a lot of times they come in and they'll pick right from the vine and they could choose what they want. So they kind of get a kick out of
wow,
that as well.
That's
and they
good.
And they know where it's coming from. It
right.
hasn't been transported. It's it's right from their neighborhood. So.
So do you have like a little guard dog to make sure that while you're sleeping,
I'm trying to get my mom to be okay with that. So, but yeah, hey, it's organic pest watch. Eh?
That's right. Oh, that's cool. So you converted. So you started to convert your yard
mm-hmm.
With the soil. Now I know that that was the first year.
That was the first year.
And how was the first year?
I learned a lot about where not to put things,
right?
And certain plants, they don't do well beside each other. So first year was definitely a big learning curve.
Yeah, a lot of trial and error.
Second year did different vegetables, really looked into the methodology of what should be growing with what, especially with organic. You want certain things to be beside each other because they'll keep away pests and animals and different things like that.
A little bit of square foot gardening, like did you have to use that?
I've looked into that. This year I built raised beds for several different reasons, especially for water retention. That was one of my biggest ones. And also with helping with crop rotation. That way I know, keep track of where things have been placed in the gardens, and then the following year I'd move everything
around.
Make sure you move everything around.
So
you keep the nutrients in the soil mm-hmm. and keep it healthy. So
excellent. And this, so it was a good time to do the raised beds for drought control because it was a really tough season.
It was, and they did their job. They definitely did what I expected them to do.
Yeah.
My water bills weren't that high, so it was really good. And I wanted to do an irrigation system, but kind of ran out of time. And it's hard doing things when you're by yourself.
Yeah, you did a lot.
Lots of ideas about one person to do them. So, so next year's always will be bigger and better.
Excellent. Growing. Now you planned some irrigation. Were you planning the drip irrigation or?
I have it planned out.
Okay.
It's just a matter of installing it and doing it. I'm doing it myself, so it's buying all the different pieces and researching how to do it properly, because if I'm running water from my house, then you need proper flow rates.
Yes.
And so there's a lot of different details that go into doing it. It's just doing it and kind of ran out of time, and my plants grew quicker than I thought.
Yeah.
So But regardless, things still grew really well in the raised beds.
Oh, that's good. Now, did you buy plant? Like, was there an investment for you in plants, or did you grow starts? I mean, I know seed starting's a hard thing. Did you start all of that by seed?
Yes, I started pretty much everything, but in the greenhouse. I have a little greenhouse, so I started most of my things in there, such as like tomatoes and peppers and some of your bigger plants, but radishes and your lettuce, you just put them right into the dirt. It's much easier and easier to transplant as well if you need to. So,
right.
But pretty much start anything in the greenhouse. And next year I'll be able to get them out earlier, so because I'm not building.
Yes.
So things will be, the seasons will go a lot longer for me next year.
For sure. I mean, it's, the weather is still, like, as a landscape designer, you know, we never know when it's going to start and when it's going to end. And so the weather, and whether it's going to be warm enough, like, you know, the snow could be gone, but it still could be cold, you know. So it's, so weather, I think, in our industry is, we're so dependent on it,
well,
unfortunately.
Right now it's the overnight lows.
Yeah. All of a sudden, eh?
Yeah, and it's cold, but nothing's wilted yet.
Yeah.
So I still have lots of tomatoes on the vines.
Oh,
and
good.
There's still stuff growing and flowering, surprisingly. So it's been, you know, daily giving haircuts to the tomato plants and making sure that I'm getting all the energy going to the fruit instead of growing higher. They're big tomato plants this year.
So you're learning all the tips and tricks then.
I'm learning a lot of what not to do. So I think that's kind of the biggest learning aspect of this whole thing, is knowing what not to do.
Right. And even choosing. I mean, how did you go about choosing? I mean, I know choosing like the vegetable, but actually choosing the variety, because then that, like, that's a whole, once you get those seed catalogs.
Yeah, a lot of it has been saving my own seeds.
Okay.
This year I'm definitely doing a lot more of that as well, but just kind of I choose it by what I like and what a lot of, you know, family and friends, what do they like?
Okay.
You know? And that's kind of where I start. But again, it's learning every year, it's learning what people really want. So I'll cut back on certain things next year and I'll try a larger variety. So like Brussels sprouts, like I've never grown them before. I don't even think I've seen a plant. Brussels sprouts.
It looks really
before.
Cool.
They look neat.
Yeah.
So I'll try stuff like that out.
Okay.
Like harder to get vegetables.
Yeah.
Instead of just, like, I won't do as much lettuce and Swiss chard because a lot of people are starting to grow their own.
True.
So I'm going to stay away from that kind of.
Or it can be kind of introduced later in like filler, right?
If
you have the room.
Yeah. Well, there's lots of room, but I'd like to try like different varieties of things, like more like bigger variety of like heirloom tomatoes and things like that.
Okay.
I've been trying a lot of tasting them, and I've found quite a few that I really like. So why not share those? It's ever changing.
Absolutely.
And ever growing.
And the secret is to really keep good records, I think.
Good records, and it's an everyday. You have to be out there looking for bugs and making sure, you know, the leaves are the proper color. And
right. Yeah, you mentioned organic, so you don't use any herbicides or anything?
No, everything's, pardon me, everything's natural. So, so for fertilizers and keeping bugs away, like there's bone meal and like there's organic mixes you can buy, but it's all natural.
Okay.
But I still try to stay away from even buying organic because it is much more costly.
Yeah.
So doing a lot of homemade remedies and testing those out. And I've found a few over the years that work really well and are cheap and easy to make. So
So you don't give any trade secrets away. Do you do your own compost?
Yes. Definitely.
So then that would be a big source, right, of nutrients.
Yes, and one of the biggest things this year was having coffee grinds. I've found that coffee grinds are amazing for your plants. For some reason, they love them. So I've mixed. I had a friend that was saving them from a church from me. So at the end of the week, I'd be getting big, large bags of them. But that's the only thing I put into my soil this year. And things were gigantic. Like, I have peppers that are, bigger than my hands.
Right.
Like, they're they're large. I don't know how, but...
Now, Starbucks, you can get grounds from Starbucks, too. Did you know that?
No, I did not.
Yes,
no,
they do. They give them free. And often, if you're standing... I picked up one small bag this year, so it was really no impact on my garden. But sometimes they actually have a basket... and they put them in foil, like these foil bags.
Oh.
And with a sticker on them. And yeah, and they're free.
Well, I'm writing that down.
Yeah. So that's a really nice thing that Starbucks does, because you're right. I mean, it's a win-win, because there's less that they have to dispose of.
Exactly.
And it's good for people who want to use them in the gardens.
And yeah, even for your container gardening,
yeah.
You could use them, mix it in with your soil right at the start. And you could use, even if it is little bits, you can still use it. So
yeah, that's something I have to figure out, how to improve my soil and my containers. And this year I was really disappointed. I know we both talked about how well our jalapenos have done. Mm-hmm. So like I had only four. I cut back and put four plants in, but I can't keep up. And I did one cherry tomato, what I thought was a cherry tomato plant. I bought the plant. I don't do seeds.
Mm-hmm.
And as it grew, it is definitely not a cherry tomato plant. It's a full tomato. I don't know what variety, but it got the... put on Facebook to find out what it was on the bottom. So the bottom's all rotted.
Oh.
And I was told there wasn't enough calcium in my soil, and that I needed to, this is again through Facebook because yeah. I'm not a veggie person. So I needed to add Epsom salts to my garden, mm-hmm. to the pot, and more, and fertilizer. So I've been fertilizing, but not that much,
yeah.
but because I have like an organic fish fertilizer,
okay,
and a rooster. I think it's kind of like rooster poop or something,
yeah.
you know, that I sprinkle in. But because it's containers, I'm always worried about too much, not enough, and stuff. So I did notice a bit of an improvement once I added the Epsom salts,
mm-hmm.
But still I couldn't stay on top of it. Like I couldn't get on top of it.
Yeah.
And they, even when they first started coming out, they already were at the bottom.
Really?
Yeah. That's so I got out of all the work, I got one. And it turned into a big plant. Like I don't know how to prune it and
yeah.
keep it under control. I just let it go. And it was a massive plant. It's like an experiment for me. So it's a learning curve for
yeah.
sure, but it's not my focus, unfortunately. I am the only person in my household will eat tomatoes. So,
really?
So it's not a huge motivation. Although my son will eat the cherry or the grape tomatoes, which is why that's what I planted, right?
Right.
So I won't say where I got the plant, but it was obviously mislabeled.
I have lots. My cherry tomatoes are probably 8 feet.
Are they?
Yeah, they're still producing.
Wow.
Mass quantity.
Yeah.
I'm shocked at how well things have worked out this year.
Oh my God, I should have asked you for cherry tomatoes then. But
yeah.
anyway, when I realized that my mistake, that it wasn't a cherry, I thought, oh, but it will be nice to get. You know, a mm-hmm. tomato plant, even if it's just me. And then when that happened, and then I'm trying to, anyway. So I know things can happen fast, and so you really have to stay.
You have to stay on top of it.
Yeah.
Because the past 2 years, I had lost all my tomato plants the majority of them to aphids, and they just came in, and because I wasn't pruning enough, and there wasn't enough air circulation. They just came through, and like within a week, I lost everything, and they brought disease with them. So once it's in the plant, even if you pick the tomatoes off, it was still in them, and unfortunately lost them. So this year, it's been really good. I've seen a few aphids the past few days, but just again, it's a matter of staying on top of it and
constantly.
It's a constant search and
right. Right, and you learn some pruning methods just to keep this air circulation.
It is, yeah. And this time of year, you cut back, like if you have little tomatoes growing, you just cut everything right back so everything goes to the main fruit and it's not going towards making the plant bigger. It's
right.
Just, you just want everything to ripen as quick as it can right now
because
we don't know how long we have left.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we have lots to talk about as far as vegetables go. And we have Ruth, who's written in, and she's thank you, Ruth. I'm glad to be back. She likes the self-sustainable lifestyle. So thank you very much, Ruth, for listening in. Why don't we pause? I've got lots more questions for you, Jennifer. There's lots to talk about on this topic. And if you yourself are interested in getting into urban gardening or vegetable gardening or have some questions, feel free to email us at instudio101@gmail.com. We'd love to see if we can help you. Otherwise, we will be right back on Down the Garden Path here on Reality Radio 101. Well, I met this girl.
Are you currently looking for home, automobile, business, or life insurance and live in the Durham, Ontario region, but you are just not sure where or who to turn to? Relax. The answer is WO Insurance Brokers. WO Insurance Brokers offers personalized service with very competitive rates. We offer monthly payments as well as a claims guarantee, making your insurance needs less stressful. Policy discounts are also available too. So what are you waiting for now? Call WO Insurance Brokers at 905-436-9090. Visit our website at www.woinsurancebrokers.com for more information. Remember, when you need a caring and professional insurance brokerage, WO is for you. At WO Insurance Brokerage, we are your hometown broker. Have your comics seen better days? Maybe they need a visit to the Comic Doctor. Get your comics pressed and dry cleaned using the Comic Doctor's chemical-free method, which diminishes or removes unwanted dents, bends, spine roll, and other defects, improving the appearance of your books. Not only will they look great, but their grade and value will increase. This just in. The Comic Doctor is now an authorized CGC submission agent. Let us take the guesswork out of submitting your comics to the CGC for grading. Make an appointment with the Comic Doctor today. Check us out online at thecomicdoctor.com. The following program will make you want to grow things and experience new and wonderful dreams about your plants, garden, and garden design. Listener participation is strongly advised. Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. To get on board, dial 905-725-1907. Toll free anywhere in North America, 1-866-905-7325. Worldwide, 1-866-656-5477. Send us an email in studio101@gmail.com. And now, right back to your host of Down the Garden Path, Joanne Shaw.
Thank you very much, Gary, and welcome back, everybody, to Down the Garden Path. And here tonight we're talking about urban farming with Jennifer White, my guest in studio, who has a little local urban farm right in her backyard here in Oshawa. So she, I know we have listeners from all over, but it's nice to have a listener from right around the corner. Mm-hmm, and really. For our other listeners, she's going to be a great resource for veggies for you. All right.
Right.
So, because you still have, like you said, yeah.
Well, I've learned a lot, and I'm always open to learn more as well.
So. Yeah. And there are cold hardy, I think I was thinking about that earlier, cold hardy crops that as your other crops start winding down, and you've been planting those as well.
I'm going to attempt cold frames this year. So they're a way to, they're like a little mini greenhouse.
Okay.
Little mini greenhouse, low to the ground, but hopefully you could grow, in theory, I will be able to grow broccoli, cauliflowers, cabbages, things with shallow roots.
And, okay.
Are cold hardy, that they're able to sustain colder weather. And yeah, so we'll see how
all
that
right.
goes.
All right, so that's your next experiment.
Yes, I'm excited too. I wanted to do it last year, just ran out of time because I was still in school. So this year I've started, so it would be a matter of, I have plants in the greenhouse started already, so now it's just attaching my windows onto the frame and watching them grow.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so your first year, all that work that you did in your first year, you were also still going to school. You weren't doing it full time.
I've been in school for past 3 years.
Yeah.
So
now school's done for now.
Finally, yeah. I've been looking at the continuing ed courses, though, and of course there's always something else to take, but maybe next year. Yeah. We'll see how it goes. We have lots to do this winter.
For sure. And I had another question that I've forgotten. But cool hardy crops. But you said you have a lot of crops still on the vine.
Yes.
What do you do, like, if you don't sell out? Like, what are you, you know?
I've done a lot of canning, actually.
Oh, okay. Preserving.
So preserving it. Because at certain points, like, sometimes, for example, cucumbers, all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of them. And you honestly don't know what to do with them all. You can't even give them away.
Right.
So I've made dill pickles and relishes and... with my beets, because again, they just you try to space them out the growing times, but all of a sudden you're left with these big bundles. And so I've been making a lot of pickled beets. I've also made a lot of pesto as well, because I have my basil plants that are doing very well.
Okay,
so I made a nut free all organic pesto. What else have I made? Quite a few things. So,
oh,
like different soups. And
yeah.
I'm getting ready to dry all my herbs, because I'll be packaging them, and because there's quite a few of them. So I'll be packaging them and selling them as well. And I'll be making my own herb de Provence and things like that.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Just, you
said
know.
That very good. You did like put that French accent on really well. That was good for you.
growing up in the French immersion.
Oh, there you go. Okay, good.
Hopefully it's come up for something. But yeah, so, and that's another way to sustain myself through the winter as well, is having preserves. It feeds me as well, mm-hmm. but also to bring in a little bit of income as well.
Okay.
Throughout the winter. So that's how what I've been doing. And I mean, anybody could do that. It's not that hard
mm-hmm.
to can. It's long as you follow, you know, you have to follow the recipes
yes.
and the rules very strictly just
yep.
for health reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to get anybody sick. So.
Right, right. Yeah, the boiling of the jars. And
right, right. And
that.
As I'm learning, like, different vegetables require different lengths because of their acidity. So it's I'm just been sucking in the information.
Oh, wow.
And so my next... My first attempt of drying herbs, like, in mass quantities. So,
okay.
And that's, you know, I've been teaching myself about that, getting, well.
Like, air drying? Are you going to do, like, a dehydrator? No.
Well, air drying. And the greenhouse is staying warm and dry, so I'm going to do them in there. And but, I mean, everything's still really green right now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to pull things too early.
Yeah, for sure. And I know, I don't know where you are, listeners in the world, but here, so we have had a couple of cooler days,
mm-hmm.
and we had certainly a rainy day today. We haven't had one of those in a while.
No.
Where it was kind of like gray and gloomy and rainy most of the day. But by the end of the week, it's back up again. You know,
yeah.
Temperatures look warm.
Like,
so
yesterday was beautiful, like mm-hmm. a beautiful working day. It was really sunny and hot. So, but then at night, we're dropping down to almost the point where, you know, we get a little worried.
Yeah.
I think we're about 9.
Yeah, they said tonight will be 10
yeah.
on my way over.
Yeah.
So
from everything I've read, they said like around 13 degrees, but we're below that already.
Mm-hmm.
And plants are still holding out, so.
Oh, that's good.
So every night it's kind of a worry, like, oh,
yeah.
is everything okay? So
yeah,
you treat them like children, make sure they're warm, and you know, if need be, you can put blankets around
right.
them. Right. There's ways to kind of protect them overnight.
Yeah.
But it's coming to the end, certain things.
Yeah,
so.
For sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Now, getting the word out. So obviously, you've got are like most of your neighbors. Like, are you? Is your customer base? Good. Have you built like a good repeat?
I have, yes. I have quite a few really good repeat customers that, you know, a few times a week I've started doing deliveries like within town.
Okay.
Just because sometimes they're stay-at-home moms and they don't want to pack up the kids and come
yeah.
out. So it's just easier for them, and I think they really appreciate that.
And you don't necessarily want the kids running around the garden.
Well, which is okay.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of neat to watch them be so fascinated to see where
mm-hmm.
plants actually come from and being able to pick them and eat them right off the vines.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of neat to see the kids experience that
mm-hmm.
and then they're almost willing to eat the vegetables.
Yeah, the things that
more.
They see that way versus,
yeah.
you know, at the grocery store or on their dinner plate, right?
Yeah.
They pick it off. They'll try the bean off the...
Or even tomatoes, like cherry tomatoes, like just pop them in their mouth and eat them. And their parents are even shocked that they're doing it. But
wow.
it's seeing the plant
mm-hmm.
and being able to have the whole experience. And it's kind of neat to see.
Oh, that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
That's good. So that's good. So it's a kid-friendly yard or garden
mm-hmm.
as well. So
mm-hmm.
that is a good thing for people to know. So how do you get your word out otherwise? Like,
I have used Facebook.
Okay.
Using a lot of social media just to advertise. It's cheap advertising, mm-hmm. which is great. I've done a lot of, tried to stay in touch with the school during college and just do events with them and expose my business.
And now you're using Reality Radio 101.
And now I'm using Reality
so
Radio.
So plug away, please.
That's right. That's right. Barefoot Veggies on Reality Radio 101.
Exactly. And so experiencing something like this for the first time, it's good for me, and
yep.
it's also promoting my new business. It's mm-hmm. still young, so I know there's a lot of work to be done. And
oh, for sure.
And it's getting the word out there. But right now, I use Facebook a lot through the Messenger, and because I am by myself, it's more, I deal with my customers on a drop-in basis.
Okay.
So they give me a call or text me to say, okay, I need this, I'll be there this time, and so it works out for everybody, like,
right,
because I can't be everywhere at once,
right, for sure. So, but it sounds like you have to be home all the time.
Exactly. So that's my next step, is having somebody else around. So if I do need to go and do business, like do other things, and then I have somebody in that I could, you know, then my customers know they could go anytime and get what they want instead of having to wait for a drop in time. But I mean, thus far, it's worked out really well, and I will continue using it.
Yeah.
Social media has been great. Been really great.
Oh, that's good. And do you pick them? Like, if you know people are coming, do you pick the stuff ahead of time, or do you pretty much pick them, let them choose, or?
It depends what it is. Like, certain things are ripe, so you pull them. Mm-hmm. But usually in the fridge, maybe have stuff in the fridge for two days, if that. So, like, things like your hot peppers, like, it's, they're not huge sellers, but like as you had said, like the jalapeno plants went crazy this year.
Yeah, they liked the heat, I think.
They love the heat. So, I mean, some people would come and buy stuff for salsa, so you sell the whole bag of them.
Mm-hmm.
But the turnaround has been really quick with selling stuff.
That would stress me out. Like, is that okay? Like, because you don't want to throw stuff
away.
You
get panicky.
I know. Just our family of three, we waste, unfortunately, we can waste a lot of food sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And my waste, actually, I have a woman local around here who has an alpaca farm that I've been giving my waste to. So, like, you can eat beet greens. A lot of people don't. And I can only eat so much personally.
Yeah.
So I've actually been giving them to her, and she's been feeding the animals and stuff.
Whoa.
So it makes me feel better that it's not just going to waste. Like, mm-hmm. yes, I do compost it, but it's still edible. So
yeah.
It makes me feel better that it's being used.
Yes. And yes. In another way and, mm-hmm. and things like that. So mm-hmm. that is true too. Cause if you want to be able to manage that, cause I would think compost could get out of control too.
It can. And I mean, I try to give it, I know a lot of vegans and vegetarians that will eat the stuff, but again, they could only eat so much, right? So it's, and things like that that are going to be waste, I'll give away.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather not waste it.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
That's a big thing for
Any
me.
Local restaurants found you yet? Or?
I've been in contact with a few. Over the winter, I really want to set up contracts either with caterers or with smaller local businesses. And I'd like to really like to be able to grow specific for certain people. And then that way, like, I'd like to get into edible flowers a little bit more, mm-hmm. and provide that to, I'm thinking more a caterer, because then it would be very specialized.
Yeah, for sure.
And kind of gear my growing to what they would want. So there's a lot of ideas in the work. But my goal is to have like one or two contracts with somebody that I know if I'm growing the product that it will be used,
mm-hmm.
and it's not going to. Then it won't be hectic trying to make sure that it gets sold, right?
For sure. Yeah. And I think that's a good promotion for people for a restaurant too, to say, oh, this was just grown, you know, in Oshawa. It was grown in the neighborhood, you know, that type of thing. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's people out there and that are interested in what I'm doing. So it's a matter of sitting down and chatting with them and then drawing up contracts and stuff.
Again,
because
you're one person, which I completely understand, right?
It's definitely a learning curve. Yeah, I'll say that much.
For sure. And we'll cover this more at the end of the show as well, but we do have a listener, Linda, writing in asking how we can get a hold of you. So your website's not quite up yet, barefootveggies.ca.
Mm-hmm.
So
right now, you can contact me through my cell phone. The number is 905-718-0830. You can either message me or leave a message, or through Facebook on my Barefoot Veggies page. It phones on me all the time, so I get back to you right away. And that's really the simplest way.
Okay.
Or drop in at 910 Somerville here in Oshawa. That's where the farm is located. And if my car's there, I am.
Okay.
So that's the easiest way is, though, through text or Facebook.
Yeah, for sure. So as far as the city, like, are there rules and regulations for...
Not so much.
That's
not,
good.
I mean,
we don't want to give them any ideas.
I mean, no one's bothered me. I'm not on the street stopping traffic or anything.
Right,
like,
right. You don't have a big fluorescent sign.
Right, and it's not slowing down or impeding traffic, so no one's bothered me yet. And it's usually people come into my private backyard and deal with that. So, again, this winter will be finding the insurance, like proper business insurance, and then it could go into farmers markets and things like that.
Right.
But I think because it is a private home, it's still kind of under the radar.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah. Sorry, I'm talking about that.
But it's, yeah.
Yeah. And so can you believe it's been 2 years? Like, do you feel like you've really accomplished it? To me, it sounds like you've accomplished a lot in 2 years.
It's, coming to the end of the season, it's kind of sad to see everything, you know, turn back into dirt again.
Yeah.
But I'm proud of myself. I've done, my ideas that I had at the beginning of the year for my raised beds turned out really well, exceeded my expectations. And I'm really glad I did it, and will continue to advocate for raised beds and getting people to do their own. And
okay, and is that what you think was the biggest factor in helping you get through the drought?
Definitely, because it held the water and it made my plants much stronger, and they dug for the water. And yeah, so I didn't really water that much extra than anybody else. So. But I still ended up with massive plants.
Yeah.
So it works.
Wow.
It definitely works.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Well, that is great. Well, there's lots more to talk about with Jennifer and some of her plans for next year. I want to talk about those and how she can even has plans to help us with our vegetable gardens. So we'll pause for a commercial break, and we'll be back talking about vegetables with our local urban farmer, Jennifer White, here on Reality Radio 101.
I hear the ticking of the clock. I'm lying here, the room's pitch dark. I wonder where you are tonight. No answer on the telephone.
Are you currently looking for a part-time professional career, but you are just not sure what to do or where to go to make a great part-time living? Well, if you live in the Durham, Ontario region, then Durham Ways Bus Lines is the absolute professional career just for you. We offer complete comprehensive training, an excellent starting salary, and ongoing support in your choice to be a professional school, corporate, or charter transportation specialist. With flexible hours and many great benefits, Durham Ways Bus Lines is that perfect part-time career for retirees, housewives, or anyone looking to make great extra money with a professional and reputable company. Why not call us today at 905-433-1392 or visit our website at www.durhamwaybuslines.ca. At Durham Ways Bus Lines, we are the safe way. Choosing a restoration or general contractor can be a very daunting task. Who do you trust? What are their credentials? How much will my restoration or contracted project cost? Relax, take a deep breath, and then call Elite Restorations. At Elite Restorations, we have the ability, enthusiasm, and professional personnel to get your restoration or contracted project completed on time, within budget, and guaranteed. We specialize in kitchen, bathroom, and basement renovations, and only use the absolute best materials available to give your special project a beautiful new look and great function. Still need more information? Then visit our website at www.eliterestorations.ca or please call us at 905-686-5854. Elite Restorations, Canadian owned and operated for over 10 years.
Welcome back to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101. And now, right back to Joanne.
Thank you, Gary, and welcome back, everyone, to Down the Garden Path, where we're talking about urban vegetable farming in our local community here in Oshawa, Ontario. And I know... You know, we've had Megan Kane, who's a creative vegetable gardener, on her website from the U.S. She's been on the show talking about it as well. She did her whole front yard, so her neighbors were really impressed. So it's not necessarily a new topic to the show, but it's certainly, I think, a popular one wherever you are in the world. Mm-hmm. More and more people are doing it, and I know many of my clients are wanting to have grow vegetables, usually in a smaller, like in a container or mm-hmm. something like that. So it's definitely, I think you've hit the market right at the right time.
It's out west, it's huge. I mean, and they've been doing their own gardens and living off the land for a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, and humans always have lived off the
yes.
land. So it's kind of relearning on how to get back there. And
yeah.
And I mean, if you need a little bit of education and knowledge and you could have a simple... your own food garden.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, the West Coast has a little jump on us in the sense that their growing season is longer.
Yeah.
But with cold frames and greenhouses, we can really extend,
extend your seasons. And it's pretty neat.
No, that's good. That's good. So in addition to, so you find people word of mouth and Facebook. So how does it work when you when people buy from you? Are your veggies sold by weight, or they're just different price for a different vegetable?
They're sold by weight.
Okay.
Different prices for different vegetables. I try to stay competitive with different organic growers, but because I am one person and it is me doing all the work,
yeah.
and because there's not a lot. There's not a big quantity of it.
Mm-hmm.
My pricing is kind of, they take all that into factor. But I try to stay
okay.
competitive.
But you need to still make some money.
Yeah.
It's a ton of work.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't want to go too high.
Right.
Because organic already is a little bit more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you can't beat the freshness because
for sure.
it's straight from the garden, still
yeah.
dirt on my hands and it.
So yeah.
And
yeah.
on the vegetables.
Or on your feet.
Yeah, yeah, definitely my feet. Yeah. Yeah.
So, so that's good. And the feedback from your clients has been good?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I mean, people are happy to. And right now with the amount of tomatoes, I'm happy to sell like bulk prices. Like
okay.
if people so choose to buy a lot, I'm not going to charge per pound. I'll do it by... We'll talk about it.
Okay.
We'll talk.
So people are in the mood to make some salsa
mm-hmm.
or some tomato sauce.
Yeah. Yeah. Come
and
check me out.
Come on down, right?
Yeah.
Especially because you've got the jalapenos too.
I have jalapenos, habaneros. I have sweet and bell peppers. So, and then all the different tomatoes. And all the herbs as well that are required for salsa. So
wow.
So
yeah,
if you're thinking of making some,
it's kind of like make your own. You can have like a salsa bed next year, right? Like all that.
Yeah,
this is the bed.
Yeah, this is what you need. Well, exactly. So and going into edible landscaping.
Yeah.
Which is something that I would like to do next year. I've did two jobs this summer, went into other people's yards and built and organized their vegetable garden.
Oh, okay.
Gardens.
Did you plant the plants too?
Yeah, I plant plants, but did it with help. Like
okay.
there was one family that I did it with, so a mom and her two young kids
and
they were excited to be involved in that.
Right.
So that was kind of neat. And I know over the summer they've got to watch their veggies grow and they're excited about it. So, I mean, that's really neat to see, like seeing the kids be involved and really get excited about what they're eating and and how it's grown. So it's...
Sure. And you discovered that raised beds work best. So then now you can, and not everybody can build that or have the materials and the knowledge to build that. So for you to go, so our listeners in our local area, if you're wanting something like this, then that's something that Jennifer can come.
And come and give consultations, even just to give you ideas of what you can, what and where you can put your veggies.
Okay.
You don't have to have necessarily raised beds, but container gardening. And even like in your front yard, you have a herb gardens, right? Like,
right.
They're beautiful. They're great for butterflies and bees because we have issues with
the pollinator gardens.
Yeah, pollinator gardens. But I mean, they're beautiful and they're usable too, instead of just nice to look at, you know? So I'd really like to get into that a little bit more. But, you know, next year, right?
Yeah. Again, because you can't leave the house, so, you know, you need to kind of, it's kind of one of those things, right?
Yeah.
Now, would you consider, because I would think sometimes people in, for vegetable gardens, I know, want to hit the ground running in the spring. So if people are considering installing a garden, like just the physical raised bed.
Yeah, now would be the time.
Now would be the time, right?
The time,
so if they need you to do that now, then now would be a great time, and then that way you can hit the ground running in the spring.
Right, and it's already there, and we could give you a layout of what to grow and how much.
Yeah.
I mean, depending on the size of the family and how many people you're planning on feeding.
Yeah, because it usually doesn't have to be that big.
It doesn't, no. I mean, depends on how big your family is. There's many charts. There's tons of information that will give you, you know, what to grow, how much to grow, and... So depending on the size, right?
Right.
So there's a lot of different methods as well. So if you do want to be using like the high grade expensive organic materials to grow it, then you can.
Right.
But there's also a cheaper way to do it, and a lot of homemade remedies and things like that, which I'm kind of lean towards because they work.
Okay.
The stuff works, so it's kind of.
Can you give us like one example? I don't want to like take away all
your
secrets.
Well, even so on cucumbers and squashes and things like that, you get this powdery mildew.
Okay.
All you use is I use milk and baking soda and spray it on. Doesn't smell the best, but it's you know, a quart of milk and a little bit of baking soda, and takes time just to spray it off, and it neutralizes the mold, so it doesn't spread. But again, it works. So it's under $5 instead of however much
the other stuff is.
Yeah,
there's really not a lot for mildew these days either. So, so I'm wondering if that, because peonies have, for the ornamental plants, peonies this year has been so hot and humid that everybody sometimes some peonies are more prone to it than others.
Yeah.
The leaves on the peony.
Yeah.
But pretty much everybody I've talked to that has peonies this year has that mildew.
The mildew. Yeah. Milk and baking soda.
Milk and baking soda.
Yeah. And it just neutralizes it and it does bring it back. So, so a little.
To know. Yeah. So you've tried out. Well, it's nice to know because you've tried some of these things out, right? So that is good.
Yeah.
That is good.
Some things don't. You know, cayenne pepper doesn't always work for deterring animals either.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I've been doing a lot of reading and it's interesting that human urine is actually, I know it sounds
gross,
awful.
Yeah.
It sounds gross, but it's sterilized.
Yeah.
And it actually is really good for, one, keeping animals away and for adding nutrients to your plants when you need it. Like, it's diluted, obviously, but there's a lot of nutrients in your urine. And there's been a lot of studies done about it, so it's not just pulling it out of a hat. But again, it does work, and it's simple and it's cheap, right?
Yeah,
like cheap is good.
Cheap is good.
You know, when you're trying to be sustainable, you try to keep what you have.
Okay. Now, are you a vegetarian?
No.
You eat lots of vegetables, obviously,
because
you grow them. But,
I got to have something different, But most of the time, I'm eating vegetables anyway, but I eat a lot of fish, so
Well, that's good.
But yeah, I'm not a vegetarian.
No, that's okay. That's okay. So that's good to know that. And as I say to my listeners too, as far as the landscape design, because I know everybody thinks and they want to wait till the spring to do their landscape design and think about their landscape or think about their vegetable garden.
Yeah.
But that the fall is a really good time. And even for something building, like you can build right to the really hard frost because you're building on top of the ground, right?
Right. And
so,
it's the best time to do it because it's not hot either. So it's a good time to work outdoors.
Yeah, for sure. And you're more available because in the spring, you're going to be really busy setting up your own garden.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Spring's busy time.
Yeah, for sure. And for me as well. So that's something that anybody's out there thinking about. Then please, really think hard that the fall is a good time. Even if you're looking at, clean, empty bed all winter, that's okay. Then you can hit the ground running in spring.
Mm-hmm. And then that way you don't have to decide exactly what you want.
For sure.
Yeah, you could just, you want something and, we could look at the sun and all the other different aspects.
Yeah, definitely.
Get it in there.
Definitely. So that's great. So is there anything else you'd like to mention or talk about or promote? While we have you?
No, other than the fact that I have tons of tomatoes right now.
Excellent.
Please come stop by and check out the gardens and keep a watch out for upcoming barefoot veggie events.
Excellent. And you do put pictures of the garden.
I do.
And veggies and stuff. So your Facebook page is a good one.
Yeah. And the web page will be coming along shortly. It's started. I have my wireframe out, but just need to have a little bit of time
to
sit down and make it look pretty, right?
Yeah, so. I know. I mean, I know. I've been there, done that. And the winter, and you think everybody's like, well, what do you do in the winter? And it's like, oh, we do a ton of stuff. You just don't get paid for it.
Exactly.
Right? But it's a lot of work to do, know?
All the admin stuff.
And getting caught up on that. So do you have any advice for anybody who is thinking about doing this themselves that may not be in our neck of the woods, that may be out there and listeners?
Just research and do it. You'd be kind of amazed at how simple it can be, but do read up on, what you want to grow, because if you're going to go organic, you really need to pay attention to what you're growing and just so you don't kill your plants off, because it does happen. And just go for it. Just try it, even in small containers. Just try and you'll be amazed about how easy it can be. But it does require care, everyday care. But just go ahead and try it.
Give it a shot,
yeah.
Wow. So that's great. Well, I mean, I think that's something. I know we've had... I should have to introduce you to a flower farmer and she's been on the show. Melanie's been on the show. And certainly when you get into larger scape, it can be really challenging and stuff. So I think it's great that to start with such a space that's so controllable, and so close to home.
Yeah.
But it's exciting to see that it's grown even in 2 years. So.
Yeah. And that you can do it in urban areas. Mm-hmm. You don't need farmland.
You could
have a small plot and still grow a lot of food.
Yeah, excellent. So. Excellent. Well, thank you very much for joining me, Jennifer.
Thank you, Joanne.
I really learned a lot and I can't wait to see your garden. I know we're hoping to work together on a few different projects as well, since a lot of my clients are asking for vegetable gardens, then that's something that you and I can collaborate with, because I don't want to build them because I'm still trying to figure them out for myself. So and I may need you to build one for me. So we'll have to see about that, because we even talked about a vertical one, right, on the fence.
Yeah,
that'd be exciting. I'd love to have that.
Shot. It'd be so many different ways to
for sure
grow.
So thank you, everyone, for listening and joining us down the garden path this evening here on Reality Radio 101. And we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to Down the Garden Path with your host, Joanne Shaw, right here on Reality Radio 101.